It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Pune, India. Amy Kulkarni is an investor in the Indian public markets following a bottom-up investment philosophy. Amy has worked closely with top managements of multinational corporations in India, including L&T, Jindal Steel, and Siemens, for almost a decade in roles including business development, business planning and corporate strategy, and project management. At Candor Investing, Amy seeks out companies that have the potential to grow fivefold in 5 years or tenfold in 10 years. Amy invests in companies deriving competitive advantage from unique or innovative business models. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Amy. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. So today I would like to discuss about Ashiana Housing, a real estate developer based in India, which has a differentiated business model. So let us first start with having a look at how Ashiana Housing has fared compared to the industry, its peers, right? So if we take the time period of last almost 11 years from before the global financial crisis, Ashiana Housing has actually outperformed all its peers by a ratio of 10 is to 1. This is something really amazing, and I want to take cognizance of this. So I want to investigate more what Ashiana Housing is, right? This is some phenomenal performance, company performance, and the stock returns. So let us first look at how does the real estate business actually work, right? It's a simple business. So buy land or have a joint venture with the landowner, then launch the project. So this is how typically it happens in India. So they first launch the project, then sales to the customer starts. Typically, the customer pays 20% of the total agreement value upfront, right? Then the builder goes and gets the building plans approved from the local authorities. Then the construction starts. And for every single milestone that is achieved in the construction, payments are made by the customer. So typically, before completion of the project, 95% of the money the customer has already paid. So the last leg that remains for completion of the project and handover is the 5% payment milestone, right? So to summarize, buy land, collect advance from customers, pay for the construction, and keep the balance as profit. What it means is that a well-run real estate operation actually needs negative capital employed, right? You take money from the customers, construct, hand over the project, keep the balance as profit, except for buying additional land. Now, typically in India, the balance of power is with the developer, as most customers have already paid a huge amount of their net worth to buy their first house or their second house before the actual delivery of the project. So before completion of the project, they have paid a huge upfront money. So what is the perverse incentive that any developer has? As we all know, real estate is typically a cyclical business. So when the going is good, land prices and property prices are really appreciating fast. People, you know, apartments and houses are actually selling like hot cake. So what does a typical developer do? So he uses the advance that he gets from the customers, and before he starts constructing for the project, he will go and buy more land, launch another project in the second parcel of land that he has got, sell that, take that 20% upfront that he has got, and buy the third parcel of land, and keep doing this, keep rotating this. So the perverse incentive that exists for the developer is grow faster than what your own resources allow you to. So what does this typically mean? You know, what is the reputation of a typical real estate developer in India? So to give some anecdotal evidence, let us look at what some of the people are saying on websites like Quora. So what different somebody has asked in what different ways can real estate builders and brokers cheat customers, right? So Sandeep Pandey in March 2015 has answered, confusing the buyer between carpet area and sellable area. So the buyer doesn't know what exactly he's buying, how much area, what will be his carpet area, how big the apartment will actually be when it gets constructed. So hiding additional charges like value added tax, maintenance services, etc. Hyping the prospects of the society or the locality, like an upcoming highway, new commercial IT park that is planned very close and it will come up in the next few months, and several other things on the similar lines, right? Now, this is an answer given by one of the other Quora members. So he says, when you want to buy a property, the first rule is have a good lawyer beside you. Observe carefully for clues from frauds. Never trust words. Use your contact, do background check. Fraudsters won't be first timers and they would have left enough clues for you. So what you are saying is, when you go and buy a property, the first thing you should do is go to the lawyer's office and take him along with you. I mean, which business dealing do you actually do that? For due diligence, using a lawyer is a different case. But for deciding whether you want to buy the property, whether you like the property, first you take the lawyer, right? Some of the other ways in which developers or the brokers cheat people is by collection of booking amount for the same property from multiple people. I mean, this is the kind of reputation that real estate in general per se has. Now let us look at what Ashana Housing is and what is there in its business model which is different from what the industry does. So let us first look at how the industry treats the land bank. So to construct homes, you need the land, right? So this is from the annual report of one of the reputed peers and one of the largest developers in India, Shobha Developers. So it says land portfolio is a distinguishing asset for a real estate company. The ability to acquire appropriate land parcels at strategic places and at competitive prices, or enter into joint developments for future launches, helps maximize profits for the company. So the industry typically treats land bank as a strategic asset. The cheaper and the more that you acquire, the better it is. Let's look at how Ashana Housing does it. So Ashana Housing says, we as a company don't believe in the land banking model. So what the industry does, they simply don't believe in it, right? So at any given point of time, land inventory of 5 to 7 times the execution capability is sufficient enough to achieve the targeted growth in sales and construction. So Ashana Housing is saying that we don't want to keep buying land. What we want is an optimal 5 to 7 times our execution capability. So to measure this internally, to measure their progress internally, the company actually uses a metric called a land multiple. So land multiple is a total developable land area upon equivalent area constructed in the corresponding period. So if, for example, Ashana Housing has the ability to construct, say, 1 million square feet every year across its multiple projects, they would typically want to have between 5 to 7 million of land inventory. Right, so they have enough land inventory to grow in the near future, but don't have too much land. Now let us look at this metric across the industry players. So this land multiple actually means that if the pace of construction is similar to what it was in the last trailing 1 year, given the land inventory, how many years will it take for the company to construct homes for its entire land, right? So DLF Properties, which is the biggest developer in India, has something like 60 to 70 years of land inventory. Shobha Developers has around 30 years. Godrej Properties, another reputed builder, has about 40 to 45 years. And how much does Ashana Housing have? 7 to 8 years. Now, what does this mean? Ashana Housing does not have capital tied up in land banks. And this has a direct impact on financial leverage and operational flexibility. What do I mean? Let us look at the debt levels of different companies. So I have taken this metric of total debt upon EBITDA, right? So if we observe for Ashiana Housing over a 10-year period, the total debt upon the EBITDA that the company makes every year is minuscule. It's about 0.1. For most other developers, it is much higher at 3 to 4 times. So they have, most of the industry actually takes a lot of debt to buy land and hoard land, right? What has happened because of this? After the global financial crisis, the price appreciation in properties stopped and the sales velocity tapered off. So over the next 5 to 10 years, if you take the case of Unitech, right, you see this graph which has gone negative. What this basically means is that they had so much on their plate that they started making losses. So EBITDA by total debt actually turned negative. If you see at companies like Parshvanath, over the last 10 years, total debt by EBITDA has just gone through the roof, right? So excess debt can actually spiral the company into bankruptcy. And that this has happened with a company like Unitech, which was one of the biggest developers in India before 2008. Now let us look at who the real estate industry sells to. So typically there are, if you segment the buyer can be segmented into two types of customers. One is the end user who is going to stay in that apartment with his family. And one is an investor who has extra money and, like in stock markets, he wants to invest in real estate so that 6 months later, 1 year later, 5 years later, he's able to sell that property or the apartment with and make a decent return on investment. So what does the end consumer, end user of the apartment and the investor look at? Typically, the consumer would look at, see, amenities for comfortable living, or convenient shopping and hospitals. Are hospitals nearby? Are the schools nearby? Because he is conscious of his kids' education, that they should get a good education, right? He wants a community living, so he wants to mingle with his neighbors and he wants to have a happy time. Typically, India has joint families, so parents live with their grown-up children and grandparents live with their young kids. So any person who is wanting to buy real estate for consumption wants to see whether his parents, who are now in their old age, will be comfortable living there. So whether the location of the apartment is convenient for office commute or is the construction quality good. Whereas the investor would look at something like this. Is this a fast developing locality? Is there some new highway or a road being constructed which will suddenly result in appreciation of the property? Does this property have exclusive amenities which no other housing project has in, say, a 5 or 10 kilometer radius? Is there some new upcoming office complex, you know, which would suddenly increase the value of this property and demand for rental consumption? And the investor wants simple, easy payment options, like pay 10% now and 90% on possession, right? So this is typically the difference in what the investor and the consumer is looking at. But in term, so Ashiana Housing chooses not to pitch to the investors. Why? So let us look at what happens to sales in an upcycle. So typically when the real estate prices are increasing, these cycles last for 4 to 5 years, right? So sales to investors happens very fast in a real estate upcycle, but the end user demand tends to remain more consistent. So every sale to a happy customer who stays in the Ashiana property increases word of mouth publicity and the brand credibility for Ashiana Housing. And this brand reputation continues to positively impact sales and business performance 5, 10, 15 years down the line. So in its brand communication and marketing communication, Ashiana Housing always targets the end consumer. He wants to say that you will have a good time living here in our project, in our apartment complex, so that this demand is more consistent and comes through word of mouth. So let us look at what sales channel does the typical real estate industry use. So the real estate, in any real estate developer will have salespeople on its own roles and will from time to time use the services of the real estate brokers. Why do they do that? Because by nature, real estate is not a going concern. It is typically project based, and the location of the project also keeps changing. So to have too many people on your own roles is probably sometimes too costly or too difficult, because you can employ the services of a real estate broker to make sales. But what does Ashana Housing do? Instead of a broker driven model, Ashana Housing has in-house sales and marketing team. This ensures greater ownership of customers and helps in selling projects to them in the future. High proportion of customer referral sales to overall sales due to established brand and high customer satisfaction. So what it's saying is that if I don't sell through brokers, my own people will have higher ownership, will have higher honesty and commitment, and it will help in referral sales because the customer will be happy, right? So what is one of the promoters, Varun Vishal Gupta, who himself says, now, customer touch point is most crucial. Everything else can be outsourced, but not sales or customer service, because every interaction with the customer is an opportunity to further enhance our brand. So what does this mean? He says construction can be outsourced. Everything else can be outsourced. You can hire accountants and audit, you know, accountants to do your.
Hi, Amy, it's John. I'm just jumping in because I cannot hear you any longer. Could you please try adjusting your microphone? Hello, Amy. I still cannot hear you right now.
Hello, John?
Yes, I hear you well. Please go ahead with the presentation, and then we will edit the audio file later to remove the break. So maybe just start with this slide again,
Okay.
please.
Okay, fine. I'll just start with this slide again.
Yes, please.
Right. So let us look at how Ashiana Housing sells to its customers and what the industry does. So typically, the industry uses the help of real estate brokers to make sales in their projects. This typically is done because real estate industry is project driven, and you want to suddenly ramp up your sales efforts during the launch or some special campaigns that happens, or right at the end when the real estate project is getting over and ready for handover. But there is a moral hazard that comes with using real estate brokers. So what happens? Because real estate brokers are paid commissions, they want to sell as fast as possible. So typically, they will always promise the customer something that is actually not available in the project. So for example, a certain view or a certain garden which is probably not going to come up in that project, or the fact that maybe there is no adjacent project that will come up, no adjacent building that will come up which will block the view to the lake, which is say 1 kilometer away from the project, something like that, right? So what does Ashiana Housing do? Ashiana Housing says that instead of a broker-driven model, Ashiana has in-house sales and marketing team. This ensures greater ownership of customers and helps in selling projects to them in the future. So high proportion of customer referral sales to overall sales due to established brand and high customer satisfaction levels. So what is the promoter of Ashiana Housing saying? These are the words of the promoter, one of the promoters, Vishal Gupta. He says, customer touch point is most crucial. Everything else can be outsourced, but not sales or customer service. Because every interaction with the customer is an opportunity to further enhance our brand. He says, construction can be outsourced, account keeping can be outsourced, a lot of other things can be outsourced, but any and every interaction with the customer is an opportunity to enhance your brand. We will never outsource it, right? What is the result of this? Let us look at what are the referral sales in terms of total sales. What are the referral sales? So the referral sales means sales which have been done based on word of mouth of the existing customers. So out of our total sales, this is from annual report of 2013. Out of the total sales, over 50% are through referrals. So this is the level of customer satisfaction for the existing customers of Ashiana Housing. What is the typical way to incentivize sales, right? Give higher commissions when higher sales happen to your salespeople. But what does Ashiana Housing do? So we understand that the sales process of the company is different and not incentive driven. Could you explain the process and the thought behind this? So the MD is saying, MD of Ashiana Housing, so we have built our sales force in a way that there is no sales incentive in making more sales. So this is totally opposite of what exactly the common perception in any sales function is. You incentivize for more sales, because Ashiana is saying, A, we won't have brokers, so we won't have third-party people selling our product. B, we won't even incentivize our own salespeople to sell more. Why? Because he says that if my salespeople are missing targets, they could misinform or misrepresent to customers, which will hit the very foundation of the trust that customers have in the Ashiana brand. So we have to also look at this from what I discussed in the first few slides, right? How builders cheat, what is the reputation of real estate in general in India, and how the balance of power is actually tilted towards the real estate developer, because the customer actually is paying a huge amount of his net worth upfront to buy the property, right? So, you know, in that context, Ashiana Housing wants to maintain the trust, you know, a trust that the customer has in the brand. Now let us look at how accounting drives management behavior. So what is the accounting policy, revenue recognition policy that the entire real estate industry follows? It follows the percentage of completion method. What it typically means is that if a real estate project takes about 4 years from start to finish, and just for simplicity, we assume that every year 25% gets constructed, then the total revenue potential of that project will be spread equally in those 4 years. What it also means is that if a company has, say, 15 different projects at different stages of completion, then for the overall financial results that get declared to the public or at the company level, it typically becomes very difficult to track, you know, the performance of the company vis-a-vis its each project, right? So what does a person, you know, so percentage completion method, what the company also wants to try and increase the profits every year. That is typically what every company wants to do. So what does it lead to, right? This is from the annual report of one of the leading real estate developers in India. Let me just read it out. In accordance with the aforesaid scheme of amalgamation, an amount of 137 crores on account of goodwill has been adjusted from general reserve and surplus in the statement of profit and loss, instead of amortizing the same in the statement of profit and loss over a period of 5 years. What does this mean? Had this amount been charged to the P&L, the profit for the year would have been lower by 28 crore rupees. So, right? So the cost and expenses incurred in carrying out and implementing the scheme have been directly adjusted from the surplus in the profit and loss account, which means the company actually did an acquisition and it suffered a loss. And this loss was directly taken to the balance sheet rather than passing it through the P&L. So for the next 5 years, the profits of the company will actually be shown as higher than what they have actually been. The loss of 137 crores is directly adjusted from reserves and surplus of the company. So let us look at what the management is behaving. So what it is telling the minority shareholders is that we are making great profits, and then in a 300 page annual report, in one paragraph on page, say 179, it is hiding a loss of 137 crores that they have, that the company has actually suffered when it acquired some other company. Now let us look at what Ashiana Housing does. So Ashiana Housing recognizes revenue on project completion basis, which means for 4 years they will toil to construct the project, and it is only when that the project is handed over to the customer is that they will recognize the revenue. So the revenue and the profits will be lumpy, and the celebration is only when the project is completed. So how does this typically affect management behavior? Let us say this. This is the MD of Ashiana Housing in his annual shareholder letter 2016. And right in the first paragraph, he says, "We had taken happy handover as a central theme for last year. The idea was to make possession process memorable for the customer. So we are pleased to share that we have achieved a net promoter score of 68% versus our target of 60%. So this is this khushi meter is the net promoter score is a customer satisfaction number that they have achieved. So this is nothing great. Everybody does, you know, customer satisfaction surveys. But what is typical about Ashiana Housing is that in the shareholder letter, right in the first or the second paragraph, the MD wants to share that they are happy handing over so many completed projects to happy customers. So let us look at what has happened with Ashana Housing, right? The stock has gone up more than 1,000 times in the last 17 years. So just, you know, what the industry does, Ashana Housing does exactly opposite. The industry sells through real estate brokers. Ashana Housing does not use real estate brokers. Industry wants to have a large land bank and treat land as a strategic asset. Ashana Housing says, I don't want land above 5 to 7 times my construction execution capability, right? And so many other things that they don't do what the typical real estate developer does. But the question is it still an investable company? Should we still buy, you know, should we even today buy this stock? So let us look at some of the financial parameters for Ashana Housing. So this is year on year area constructed for the last 10 years. And the area booked, that is the sales that have happened in the last several years. So if we see their performance from 2007 to 2015, every single year, the amount of sales that is happening has increased and the area constructed has also increased. And if we also observe the PAT margins, so they are about between 20 to 30%. What it basically means is that every single new flat, square feet of flat or the property that they are able to sell, they are making additional profit for it. Now let us look at what has happened in the last 3 years, last about 2.5 to 3 years. So sales have actually tapered off. Okay. So real estate industry is in a cyclical downturn and there was, so to say, a deep black swan event, which was demonetization of the high currency notes in India, which was done in November 2016. What this basically did was the buyers started expecting that the real estate prices will fall and the trade velocity basically stopped. Basically, transactions reduced drastically. So this is also seen in the area booked for Ashana Housing numbers, and it can also be seen for the other developers in the industry as well. But the point to be noted here is that for every additional square feet of flat that they construct, they keep making profits, right? Now let us look at what is changing in the industry. So Real Estate Regulation Development Act was approved in 2016. Now real estate will be regulated for the first time in India. What are the main provisions of this act? The act says no sales without getting all the required approvals, right? Which means what I had discussed in the initial slides, that you launch the project, collect the money from the customers, then go for approvals and then go for construction, that is no longer possible. So first you invest in land, get the approvals, get the project in place, and only then that the project can be launched. What is the other main provision of this act? It says 70% of cash flows from the project have to be kept in an escrow account. And that money has to be utilized for this, for that particular project itself, which means the typical game of real estate companies trying to buy more land from the advances that the customers have paid them is now gone. Now, another provision says no change in development plan without the consent of customers who have bought the apartment in the real estate project. So this used to typically happen for a large township kind of projects, where the builder has probably some 100 or 200 acres of land, and then he keeps developing that parcel of land over, say, 10 years on three to four phases. So what happens? is that for phase one, phase two, you know, this has happened with several people. For phase one and phase two, and phase three, the developer will keep saying that there is a large cricket stadium, then there is a huge golf course that is going to be constructed, or there is some 20 acres of, you know, green parcel that will be there. And by the time 7-8 years pass by, the local laws change, urbanization happens, the floor space index changes, which means the developer can actually construct more amount of buildings over the same amount of land. And then the development plan itself gets changed. And, you know, the original buyer who wanted a green lush space suddenly has a concrete jungle, which is there in the project. So what is going to be the likely impact on the industry, you know, of this real estate bill? So consolidation will happen. Financial muscle power will become more important, because now cash flows from the project will be used only in the in that particular project, and land and the approvals will have to be bought upfront before sales to the customer starts. Brand reputation, which already impacts sales velocity, will do even more so, will be more relevant going into the future. The trade slowdown after the demonetization of 2016 will actually wipe out many, and that has actually happened in the last 2 years. And typically people who are landowners or local developers will do a joint venture with a bigger developer who has better repute and better ability to sell through brand reputation. What is happening at the company level? So let me quickly read out from the conference call transcript of quarter three in 2018. So one of the investors is actually asking the promoter Varun Gupta about, let me ask you about the deal that you are doing with IFC. So is it to get a cheaper debt funding or cheaper equity funding to scale up faster? That is something which I was keen to understand. So this is the reply from the promoter. So the strategic idea of the deal with International Finance Corporation we believe now is a good time to purchase land or to acquire land and get more projects going. So whether we'd like to do joint development or to acquire ourselves, the IFC platform gives us the flexibility of doing both joint development and outright acquisitions. We were not doing outright acquisitions a lot just because they took a lot of capital. So it says, you know, straight. So here the return on capital to IFC is variable, dependent on the project performance, with no defined timeline of repayment obligations or defined interest obligations as such. So therefore, what happens is the biggest issue in real estate as such in terms of capital, in providing capital to purchase land, you know, so there is an asset liability mismatch that happens because the cash flows from the project are inherently volatile and difficult to estimate as to when they will come or how they will come. So what we need is capital that is willing to be sort of patient with the project cash flows. So if sales happen faster, cash inflow is faster. So what the promoter is saying is that we have tied up with IFC because it is patient capital who is tolerant to the inherent variability of project cash flows. So what is Ashiana Housing doing now? Given this background, real estate cyclical downturn, change in regulation, first time in India real estate is going to get regulated. Ashiana Housing goes out and ties up with the International Finance Corporation, who is able to provide them with patient capital. So they are partnering with the right kind of people to get the right nature of capital. So let us look, finally, to conclude, let us look at the valuation of this company. If we take the 5-year average EBITDA, it comes to around 95 crores. The enterprise value based on market closing prices on 9th March for this company is about 1,409 crores. So earnings multiple, which is enterprise value by 5-year average EBITDA, comes to about 15. So we have to also remember that Ashiana Housing is a almost a debt-free company. They have a debt of about 80 crores on its books, and the total debt by EBITDA numbers are extremely low, right? So to summarize, a high quality real estate company with a superior business model, debt to equity of around 0.1 across business cycles, operating in a rapidly urbanizing country with 275 million families, favorable structural changes in the industry, focused on cash flow rather than accounting profits, and available at an earnings multiple of 15 at a time when real estate industry is probably near its cyclical bottom. I think this is a buy from a 5 to 7 year investment perspective. Thank you.
Amy, thank you very much for this presentation. We are almost out of time, but I will ask if you could just tell me whether there's anything you personally would prioritize differently in terms of capital allocation, or are you satisfied with management's priorities?
So management is run by a family business. So three brothers, Vishal, Varun, and Ankur, are now part of the management. Their father has started his business. They have always prioritized conservative financial management. They have taken very low debt, and they have taken only that much land that they think is necessary in the to execute in the near future. I don't see, I don't see they doing anything different from what they have done in terms of capital allocation. This is their capital allocation skills right now, I think, is one of the big reasons why I would want to invest in this company.
And could you tell us what data points you are tracking, or someone wanting to invest could track in order to either validate or challenge the thesis?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, sorry. So, the biggest thing is what sales they are doing on an yearly basis. So we may not track this on a quarterly basis, but how much sales are they able to do versus how much construction are they able to are they doing? Okay. So, let me quickly enumerate what are the risks to a real estate operation. A is that you launch projects, you invest in land, and then you are not able to sell. So if sales don't happen, that's a big problem because in cash flow doesn't come. So one has to track sales in terms of whether it is maintaining on a healthy basis or not. So are they getting enough cash flows to be able to construct on time? Second is real estate is a very localized business. So over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, are they able to go to new geographies? So for example, if I see the history of Ashiana Housing, they entered Bhiwadi, which is a town 100 kilometers north of the Indian capital, say in 1991. From there, they have expanded, so they initially started in Patna, then they expanded to Jamshedpur. From there, they came to Bhiwadi. And in the last 10 years, systematically, they have gone to Jodhpur, Jaipur, Pune, Calcutta, Chennai. So which is right across the country. Very few real estate developers are actually able to do well at multiple cities across the country. And everybody has burned their hands trying to be present everywhere. So one has to be sensitive to A, are they able to sell in new geographies? And are they able to execute projects in new geographies?
Wonderful. Well, we are out of time, and I know you've included two more slides on management compensation. We will make those available to the conference participants as well. For now, Amy, thank you so much for being with us and for sharing not just this interesting idea, but also providing such a wonderful overview of the industry dynamics as well.
Thank you so much, John.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, John.